Welcome to the First Assembly podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message and find encouragement through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, let's just give God one more round of praise and thanks. And thanks so much, worship team. Thanks so much, everyone. Well, it is good to be all together today online and in the room. And over the past three Sundays, we've been focusing on spiritual disciplines as we are setting our hearts to seek first the kingdom of God, as we lay out that theme for this month and also into the year ahead. We are looking at spiritual disciplines or habits of grace, asking the Lord to help strengthen that in our lives, not just trying to be like Jesus, but spiritual disciplines, spiritual exercises, they help us to train to be like Jesus. So last Sunday, I spoke a message on fasting and prayer and the kind of fasting that pleases God, that we would approach fasting over these 21 days that we are in with authenticity, with humility, with gentleness, that we're not arguing and fighting with each other, but that we would be fasting not just for our own needs or for our own agenda, but we would lay our agenda before the Lord, and that we would love one another, that we would give from a place of generosity to one another as the Lord would lead us, because we want to fast in a way that pleases God. It's not just for ourselves or trying to get skinny or be on a diet. And those of you who haven't jumped on with fasting, there's no condemnation or pressure. I would encourage you to consider that, whether you've decided to do the whole 21 days, that's great, or if you can maybe do a portion. There's different ways you can fast. It's typically food and different kinds of food or different meals that you may skip. But I would just encourage all of us, First Assembly, to do some kind of fasting over these 21 days, and no condemnation if you fell off the bandwagon. Maybe you set out to fast and you found yourself with a fistful of M&Ms or chips or something like that. No condemnation. I can neither confirm or deny that that's ever happened to me before. But there are times that we step out and we just, out of habit, we might grab a handful of food, but then we give up. We're like, oh, I guess my fasting is over. Can I just encourage you just to stay in fasting and prayer over these 21 days so that we can really come together on that last week? As James mentioned, there's a number of in-person prayer meetings that we're going to be praying together as a church, trusting God for 2021. It's going to be good. Come on, 2021 is getting better and better. And we are going to see God accomplish everything he desires to do as we set our hearts to seek first his kingdom in every area of our lives. Today, I want to share a practical message with you on the spiritual discipline that is not always practiced, but it produces significant firepower in the life of a disciple of Jesus. And so I want to speak to you this morning on meditating on God's word. And I want us to consider three questions around that. But if you have a Bible, you can go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 will be our text. But here are the three questions. What is meditation? And then how do we actually meditate on God's word? And then why? What's the personal benefit of that? So we're going to unpack that, and we're going to get to the text in just a moment. But let's dive into this. If you have a pen, maybe some paper, you want to write in the margin of your Bible or on the back of an envelope, I think that you will find some of these things helpful for you this morning. I hope to bring something for everyone today. I believe we'll all benefit. And I believe that this message today, this teaching really will enable many of you to have a new advantage in approaching the scriptures so that you can grow deeper in God's word and in your Bible reading. I believe there are some that God is calling you maybe to grow in this discipline. Maybe this is something that's already part of your devotional life, where you meditate or you take time to meditate in God's word, but that you could go deeper in that and understanding how to approach scripture meditation. For some, this is maybe new to you, and maybe you've explored different kinds of meditation. Maybe you're joining us online today and you've been involved with meditation, maybe Eastern meditation, or maybe you've read scripture, or rather you've read books about meditation, or you heard something from Oprah on meditation. Well, we want to help you this morning. I want to help you. My goal is to help us to come around this idea of meditation from a biblical perspective. And so when we think about meditation, here's the question, what is meditation? Sometimes we might have a question come to mind, like, is meditation even for Christians? And that's a good question because, like I mentioned, there's Eastern meditation and it's permeated our culture to a certain degree with things like yoga and other things that people do to try to find peace or solace inside. And so meditation has become almost trendy in some ways. But is it biblical? Meditation is biblical, and there's a certain way to meditate, but it is not the way that Eastern meditation plays out. And so I want to just say right from the beginning, Eastern meditation and biblical meditation are completely different. And Eastern meditation would be about emptying yourself or emptying your soul or your mind. But I want to give you a warning that as you dabble in that kind of meditation, that's not biblical for one. And so you don't want to go down that road where you don't want to empty yourself and be open to things. The goal of biblical meditation is to be filled by God, by his presence, by the Holy Spirit, by his word. And so biblical meditation is about focusing your mind on God's promises, on his goodness, on his truth. So this is what we are talking about this morning. Biblical meditation is deep prayerful thinking on scripture. Deep prayerful thinking on scripture. There's a couple Hebrew words that help us understand what biblical meditation is. The first word is really mutter, to mutter, just to kind of mumble or mutter almost under your breath. And this was something that the Jews would do. This is ancient Jewish practice to take scripture and to mutter it and to speak it and to mumble it throughout the day. Another way to understand meditation is there's a Hebrew word that has to do with chewing of the cud, okay? So as I say that, what do you think of? You think of a cow right away, okay? So, or an animal that would chew the cud. Now bear with me because this picture is a little bit, you know, it's not the prettiest picture, but the idea is to chew the cud, like a cow would chew cud or grass, and it would digest that food, and a cow would have a series of stomachs, and so the stomachs would digest it, but then it would come up again. I know, the cow would re-chew it again as it comes up. It would chew it again and digest it at another level, getting out more of the nutrients, getting out more of what is in that food, so that it can become helpful to the cow, to the body. And so this is the idea. So as we look at scripture and scripture meditation and Bible meditation is taking in the scripture, it's mumbling or muttering, it's talking, it's speaking, it's actually verbally speaking the scripture over your life, over your situation, and it's having that scripture in your mind and on your lips and in your heart. But it's also taking that scripture and then coming back to that scripture and then coming back to it again and asking the Holy Spirit to give you another perspective or a different angle or a different aspect to show you a different aspect of what he is saying to you personally. So in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. As we approach Bible reading, and many are reading the Bible regularly, and even as we've started this new year, maybe you've gotten back into a Bible reading program, whether it be reading the Bible in a year, whether it be reading large chunks of scripture, the New Testament. But as you read your Bible, there's ways that God would want us to read the scripture. One way we approach the Bible is we read it wide. And so that gives us the breadth of scripture so we get an understanding. So last year, I read through the Bible in a year. I had a Bible in a year plan and went through the Bible in a year. Started something similar again this year where you get a big picture of scripture. But then as we study God's word, then we go to drilling down a little bit on chapter and book and within the verses and understanding the context and we understand you know what's going on in that context and we understand scripture that way. And so we should study God's word and to study to show yourself approved. But we don't just read the word wide, we read it deep. And this is what study and even more so meditation is about, that we read the word with depth. And sometimes we get into Bible reading, and this has happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to you, where I do my best and I get into some Bible reading. And Bible reading is not for the faint of heart. Like, it does take some discipline, doesn't it? I mean, how many times have you started in Genesis, you get to Exodus, and you just quit in Leviticus? It just gets too weird. And it's challenging. And so we start back again and we say, I'm going to read the Bible again. And we take another run at it. Or we do get into the discipline of Bible reading and our thoughts begin to wander, even when they're in the middle of a chapter. And it starts out pretty good, but then we read and we go, oh, what did I just read? And you go back. That can happen. And that can be a normal thing that we struggle with. But as we read God's word, meditation is so foundational and so important that we learn this spiritual discipline to strengthen us in getting the word of God inside of us so that it's transformational. Thomas Watson said that the reason that we come away sometimes cold from reading the word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fires of meditation. So meditation becomes something that strengthens us and warms us and helps us to comprehend and to ingest God's word into our lives. And so how do we meditate in a way that is helpful in spiritual growth? Well, in our text, Joshua is the new leader of God's people. And so Moses, who was the leader who met God at the burning bush and went back and God used Moses to deliver all of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt, and now they've been wandering through the desert, but Moses has been developing a deep and an intimate relationship with God, and God has given Moses the Ten Commandments, and he's given Moses the law of God, and Moses now has written it down, and the law, the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that these books of the Bible, these early books of the Old Testament or the Pentateuch would have been the law that was given. And so Moses has been given the law, but Joshua now is the leader because Moses has now died. And God gives Joshua the leadership. And so Joshua, as the new leader, is taking the people of God now into the promised land. And this is what the Lord says to Joshua: this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Good success. This is God's heart. So let's look at the instructions that God gives to Joshua here, because they provide, I believe, principles for us in how we should approach biblical meditation. First principle is get God's word in you. God said to Joshua, this book must not depart from your mouth. And when we think about our mouths in the physical, God has given each one of us a mouth, and he's given us a couple of primary functions for our mouth. One is to eat. How many people like to eat? And what a great subject when many of us have been fasting. But God has given us a mouth to eat, to consume food. And I want us to look at it from this perspective just for a moment. We eat with our mouths. Joshua was now, as I mentioned, the leader. And so he has to ingest the word of God. He has to get the law of God, this book of the law, into his heart. He can't just rely on his good looks, his talent, his weapons, his muscles, his leadership skills. God is saying, you've got all kinds of good things going for you, Joshua, but what you need is you need what Moses had. You need intimacy. You need to know my word. You need to know my heart and to seek my presence. It's not enough for you to lead and to go into this place until you get the word, my very word, inside of you. And I want you to meditate on my word. And Jesus talks about the word of God being like bread, because he says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so as God's word is spoken, then God's word becomes like bread for the disciple, for the Christian, that we would then consume God's word. And the picture, the metaphor is that God's word is like bread. It is nourishment to us. So we must get God's word in us. Jesus said about himself, he said, I am the bread of life. And in John chapter 6, there's a big scene because Jesus is speaking and a number of the disciples that were following him, the big crowd, the larger crowd of disciples, Jesus said, hey, you guys, if you really want to follow me, then you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they got offended. They didn't know what he was talking about. But what Jesus was saying, he was using it as a metaphor and a picture. He was saying, if you really want to follow me, it means you have to consume me. Jesus said about himself, I am the bread of life. In other words, Jesus is saying, you can't just make me a part of your life or a tag on to your life. You have to get me inside of you, the word. And Jesus himself being the word. Get the word inside of you. Get God's word inside of you. In Jeremiah, when God spoke to the prophet, the Old Testament prophet, the words that God gave Jeremiah, he internalized them. And as Jeremiah internalized God's word, he said this, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. This was Jeremiah's desire. This was his approach to experiencing God in a personal way, that when God spoke to him, he's saying, God, as you speak to him, I'm not just here just to deliver what you're saying, but God, your words, I'm internalizing. I'm getting your word in me. I want your word to change me and transform me. So get God's word in you. This book of the law must not depart from your mouth. In other words, let your mouth be on the word of God, hanging on the word of God, consuming the word of God, eating the word of God, ingesting the word of God. So if meditation is like eating God's word, if we can see it from that perspective, then let's remember what your mom taught you. Okay, this is gonna help you when it comes to meditation. What did your mother teach you about eating? Well, first of all, chew your food. Chew your food, didn't you? How many people, your mom, they taught you that? Make sure you chew your food. And what else did she teach you? Take small bites and eat slowly. This is a good way for us to remember. It's very similar. As we sit down to consume God's word in our lives, that we take our time with it, that we chew it, that we meditate and digest it and taste it and savor it. That there is a place for flying over scripture and broadly reading, and there is a place for study, but there is a need. And as we develop this spiritual discipline, like a muscle in our lives, we will be able to hear God in a greater way. We will be able to know God in a greater way. We will be able to experience him. We will be able to allow the word to become living and active inside of us. As the Bible says, it is living and active. So meditation is not just about information. It's not just about data. It's about transformation. It's about savoring God's word and letting it change you on the inside, transform you, nourish you. I remember a number of years ago, Heather and I were youth pastors in Vancouver. We were just starting out in ministry. And our youth event landed on Valentine's. It was February 14th, I think it was a Friday night. And our youth leaders and Heather and I sat down, we planned this great event. And so we went to this house in North Vancouver, and it was a beautiful house and it overlooked the whole city. And we had this big party, this big Valentine's party planned. And so we got there. And as we were about, I don't know, just a little while into the meeting, one of our youth leaders got up and he said, I'm just gonna stop you right there. You're not allowed to lead anything else this evening. We've got everything else planned. We're taking over. We want to bless you and your wife with a surprise date. And it's Valentine's. You guys are great youth pastors. We love you. We appreciate you. You've sacrificed your Valentine's to hang out with a bunch of junior highs and senior highs. And so we think that it's gonna be good for you. It's gonna be good for your marriage. It's gonna be good for your leadership. We wanna bless you. We've got you coupons. We got you a gift certificate rather for a beautiful French restaurant downtown Vancouver. And so they say your reservations are starting really soon, so you better get going. So Heather and I, we left and we got our gift certificate. We went to this beautiful French restaurant in Vancouver, and I'd never been to a French restaurant before. And as we sat down, it was wonderful. Candlelight and ambiance What struck me about a French restaurant, if you've ever been to one, is it took us 3 hours because they would come and they would bring a small little plate of beautiful food, some kind of little drizzle on it. And then this would be your you know, starting your appetizer. And then they would bring another little plate. Then they'd bring a big plate, but it didn't matter. It still had a little bit of food on it. And they would drizzle on it, and it was beautiful. And then soup, and everything was described. And every time the waiter would come by, he'd say, you know, this is what it is, and this is how it tastes, and how it was made by the chef. And I mean, it was like a big deal. And I was just used to maybe going to the drive-in and pounding back a couple cheeseburgers. That was mostly what I was used to. But at this time in my life, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. At this time, I'd never experienced dining to this degree, but it took us 3 hours at least. But the point is, in French cuisine, is you are to savor every bite. You're to learn about it. You're to learn about the ingredients and how it was made, and the taste and the sauce and it all, everything. And it, that's my best French accent. But you are to savor and ingest the food, allowing the food to transform you. It's an experience. It's not just fuel. It's not just fly over it. It's not just grab something on the way out. It is what meditation is like. It is taking time, chewing it slowly, taking a time, small bites. And this is how we can feast during a fast. This is the beauty of, in the middle of a fast, like many of us have stepped into, as we are fasting in the natural, we are finding that a whole new world in the spiritual is opening up, where we are now savoring and feasting on things because, quite frankly, we didn't have time before. We were running out the door. We were grabbing a scripture here, grabbing a verse there, grabbing a podcast or a service. But a season like we're in right now, where we are saying we're seeking first the kingdom of God, we are building this spiritual muscle, this spiritual discipline, this pathway, this habit of grace in our lives to take time to savor God's word, to meditate upon God's word. Get the word of God in you. And then we look at this same verse, it shall not depart from your mouth. This also represents speaking the word of God. Not only do we ingest the word of God and digest the word of God and savor the word of God, but we are to speak the word of God. Do not let this word away from your mouth. It shall not depart from your mouth. Speak it out loud, speak it to yourself. This is again the idea of the word that is mumble. Not that we want to walk around, you know, mumbling all the time. We don't want to be like, you know, like we don't want to be weird. But in your time with the Lord, let your voice be heard by yourself. When you're in your devotion time, when you're reading scripture, when you're focusing on a word or a phrase or a portion, let your voice be heard audibly. This is part of meditation. Sing a verse to yourself. Maybe a scripture reminds you of a song that we sing in church, or a song that you might know that is written from scripture or based on scripture. And so speak the word of God. And not only to yourself, but I believe that part of meditation then flows to the body of Christ, where we speak and encourage one another. Colossians says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so again, there's the picture. The word of Christ is dwelling in me. It's rich. It's nutritious. It's in me. It's dwelling in me. Then it says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your heart to God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly and begin to proclaim it. Let the word of God be spoken. Get God's word in you. Speak God's word. Here's another principle: to meditate. God says to Joshua, meditate in it night and day, or day and night. Meditate in it. Get it inside of you. Meditate. Do not leave any moment of your life without space for God's word to be your foundation, to be your nourishment, to be on your mind and in your heart and on your lips. That God's word is day and night. I think it's a good habit to, early in the morning, get into God's word and to meditate. It's a great habit before you go to bed to listen to scripture, think about scripture, meditate on scripture. But day and night picture here is really, it just means all day long. It just means there should not be moments of our lives where we wouldn't have room or a place for scripture. This is a real challenge in our culture, isn't it? The culture we live in is inundated with information that is available to us everywhere. And what we need when we approach scripture and when we develop this habit of biblical scripture meditation is we don't need more information, although information is helpful and we can learn and we can start there. We don't need information, we need revelation from God so that there can be true transformation in our lives and so that transformation can then flow through our lives. And the manifestation of that can impact the body of Christ and in the world that we live in and can impact those around us. And so meditate, keep it in you day and night, night and day, let it be inside of you. I read an article recently in the New York Times and it talked about the U.S. Army. And one of the things that the U.S. Army has been doing recently is they have implemented something called strategic napping. Now, I think that's a great idea, to be really honest with you. I might be into that myself. But strategic napping is they have trained their soldiers, especially in very intense situations, to be able to nap within a minute or two. They can just go to sleep anytime, anywhere. They can be in the battlefield. They can be in the middle of noise. And they can, by focusing on their eyelids and their muscles in their face and then going through a kind of a program of mentally just thinking about every muscle and then just relaxing themselves, that they can find sleep within minutes and they're able to sleep. And so they're training them in this idea of strategic napping. Now, when they're at the base, they can keep their weapon nearby. But one of the things I found interesting is soldiers that are in battle, when they're in combat, when they're deployed in combat, that they always have their weapon with them. They always, even if they're in the place of a strategic nap. The same for us is that the word of God, that as we meditate on it, that we carry it, that in that place is the word of God is nearby. It is always available, is always accessible, because how many know we live in a spiritual battle? We live in a spiritual war. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. And so this picture of meditating on God's word, having the scripture, having the word near and close and in us. And here's another principle to act on it. God says to Joshua that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. In other words, you don't just hear it. You don't just consume it. You don't just speak it. You don't just meditate and have it in you and nearby, but you act on the word of God. And I think one of the reasons perhaps that followers of Christ may struggle with obeying God or to I'm just trying to live for Jesus, but I keep, you know, failing and I just can't seem to do it. Maybe we need to rewind a bit. Maybe we need to back up a little bit. And maybe we need to develop this muscle of meditation in our lives so that when we get to the point where action is required, that is already in us. We've already digested it. It's already become part of who we are. We've been changed and we've been transformed by the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. But then it allows us and enables us and empowers us because it flows from who we are. It's not just something we are adding on. It is actually something that we've become. The old adage is you are what you eat. And I think it's so true as we look at scripture, we become like Jesus as we consume him and consume his word and allow it to transform us and to change us. James in the New Testament, the writer says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. So we have to act on God's word. And this is what God says to Joshua. There's an Old Testament story of King Saul who started off very, very well, but he began to go astray as he began to not obey God fully. He made some decisions where he began to obey God partially. God said, you need to go and destroy everything after that battle. And he said, I destroyed everything except I kept some cattle. And the prophet confronted him. Samuel said, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. In other words, what God is looking for you from you is not just to do more sacrifice or to do things that you think he wants you to do, but it's really to obey his word and to act on his word. So finally, what are the personal benefits? I'm excited to share this because there are personal benefits that God has promised for the disciple, for the follower of Christ, as we grow in this discipline, this habit of grace in our lives called meditation. And so biblical meditation, it brings prosperity and success. And I'm not ashamed to say that. And I know there's been abuse, and I know there's been, when we hear of prosperity, is that a prosperity gospel, a prosperity preacher? And we've seen, unfortunately, in the capital C church, this abused, where people are really in it for themselves, for their own gain, their own wealth. But as the follower of Christ, I want to remind us, we should not throw out the baby with the bathwater. When it's in God's word, there is a healthy and a godly and a right way to approach prosperity, understanding it does affect our financial life, but it's not limited to that. It is prosperity at every level of our lives. It's prosperity of the soul. It's prosperity as we experience life in Christ, that we prosper in our business, we prosper in our leadership, we prosper as a mom, as a dad, we prosper with our family, our children. We can prosper and we can be successful at what it is God calls us to and who he calls us to be and what he has called us to accomplish. And when we have a vision and a burden from God in our hearts, we find success and prosperity, very much like Nehemiah who heard about what was going on in Jerusalem, and he heard that the walls were still, you know, fallen down and crumbled and burned, and he began to pray and he began to fast and he began to seek God. But then after he fasted, after he went before the Lord, he went to the king, and the king gave him resource and the king gave him everything he needed to be successful. He still had to do the work and there was still battles ahead for Nehemiah, but God gave him supernatural success. And this is what God promises us for us. This is what God promised to Joshua. You will have supernatural success. It is not just your military might. It is not just your past experiences and the wars you've won in the past. It is not just the fact that I have set you as a leader and I'm going to help you supernaturally, but I am calling you to partner. It is not just my supernatural grace on you. It is actually my supernatural grace in you, doing a deep work in you so that I can do something through you. And Joshua, you will have success. So be strong and courageous, God says to Joshua, because tomorrow you will take the land, take the promised land. You will go across that Jordan. And even though the Jordan's at flood stage, even though the Jordan is dangerous, you will go through the danger, the presence of God, the ark will go before you, and you will get into that promised land that I've called you to. And you will have success. As you act on it, you will experience success and you will be prosperous. He says, for then you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success, Joshua 1:8. That's God's promise. You say, well, I'm not really prospering in my life. I'm struggling. I'm struggling in my relationships. I'm struggling in my finances. I'm struggling in different areas of my life. It feels like I take one step forward and two steps back. And I love God, and I believe I'm going to heaven, and I believe Jesus saved my sin. Could it be, friend, that the word of God is something for you, that there's nourishment for you, that you have maybe not taken into your life to the level that God would invite you to? And this is not a condemning word in any way. This is, most of us live our lives just flying around so fast. And how do we even do this? How do we even find time? This is why it's a discipline. This is why we, as we follow Christ, we look to set time aside. This is why we are in 21 days of prayer and fasting. This is why we are focusing on spiritual discipline, so that we can experience what God has for us. Consuming God's word, declaring God's word, digesting God's word, acting on God's word, experiencing this prosperity, this success in our lives. And Joshua did. He experienced incredible prosperity. You see, he was one of the spies that early on went into the promised land, and he went with Caleb, and he came back and he said, there's giants there, but I'll tell you, there's milk and honey there. There is stuff that God has for us. There are things that God has for us that are blessings. There are giants, but there are blessings. And he had faith. He said, it's a land of milk and honey, and I've tasted it, and I've seen it, and I want it. And so with that faith, God gave him the ability to step into leadership. And then God said, meditate on my word, and here's what will happen. Here's what will take place, and I will give you the success that you need. And this is what happened. Joshua chapter 4, verse 14 says that that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. So God now is giving Joshua great favor and success. And this is what God has for you and what he has for us. And I believe that there is so much more that we can grow in God's word. And I just want to call you today. I want to call all of us to be in God's word, and even just to read it every day. It is a discipline. But I believe that as we get into that habit of reading God's word, that we will grow just from reading it alone. If we move it to study and we begin to read books and other things, or we listen to podcasts, or we learn more about context, and we learn more about the New Testament and the Old Testament and what these things mean and how they play out and the pictures of Christ in the Old Testament, and how, and we begin to be students and we study, then we will grow at another level of prosperity and success in our lives, because the word of God is living and breathing, is now in us, and it's going deeper. But then here's the habit that so many of us just miss because of sheer time, and it takes time to carve out time just to pray and to listen and to write and to think and to let the word just be supernaturally what it is, and to hang on to every word and every phrase, because God's word is supernatural, all of it. All of it is supernatural. So we grow in biblical meditation, and we're changed. God desires so much success for you and for me. I'm gonna invite Michael to come back, and I want us to just end maybe a little differently than we may typically end on a Sunday morning. But what if we moved from reading the Bible in some ways from as information, and we moved it just to a greater degree in our lives as revelation? I believe there would be true Holy Spirit transformation in the church. And what I want to encourage us in is, this is for you. This is the body of Christ. This is not just for a pastor and his study time, or, you know, to get some good sermons together and thinking deeply about scripture. And this is not just for that your favorite preacher online or your favorite author who writes some good books. This is for you to experience. This is for you to grow in. This is a spiritual muscle for you to work as the body of Christ. And friends, I believe God is inviting us and welcoming us, just like the Lord would say to Joshua, Joshua, be strong and courageous. I've got so much for you. Joshua, I've got promises for you. And it's great that you've got all kinds of good things going on, but I am calling you to more depth. I am calling you to know me. Moses knew me like one who would talk to his friend. And Moses was one who sought my presence and hungered for me. And Moses got us here, but Joshua, this is now your turn. And I'm calling you to some of these same things that Moses walked in and experienced, that he really knew me. Moses didn't just know the acts of God. The children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew God's ways. And he only knew God's ways by spending time with him. So where do I begin? And this is where I want us to maybe just do something maybe a little bit different. Well, let me just give you a few things. First of all, you can begin in the Psalms. You can take any scripture and you can meditate on it. You can take Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you can meditate on that. You will find gold. You will find treasure. If you take time and you bring it before the Lord in quietness, and you bring it before the Holy Spirit, God will begin to show you things as you think about it, as you speak it out loud, as you ingest it, as you speak the word of God and begin to act out the word of God and begin to allow the word of God to shape you and change you. But I would encourage you to begin in the Psalms. If meditation is new for you, biblical meditation, start with the Psalms. Psalm 1. Reinforces so many of the things that God spoke to Joshua. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree that is planted by streams, rivers. And so the picture and the imagery is that as we meditate, that there's strength that takes place. And so you could start with the psalm. You could start with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You could start with Psalm 119. The Lord, I meditate on your decrees and your statutes. There's so much in Psalm 119. It's a great place to start. Any verse, any line. You can start with Matthew chapter 6 as we're in the theme of seek first the kingdom. Jesus talks about don't worry, but seek first the kingdom. It's a great portion of scripture to meditate on. Isaiah 55 is one of my favorites, and we're going to pray through that just in a moment. But if you were to approach Psalm 1, for example, let me give you an example. One of the ways that we can grow in biblical meditation, as I mentioned, is to speak it, but you can also pray the scripture. And sometimes we have a hard time even getting into prayer, or we pray for 5 minutes and our mind wanders. I would encourage you, with the discipline of biblical meditation, that you could approach scripture and begin to pray the scripture. You can personalize it for yourself. So Psalm 1, I just read to you, and you could potentially approach it like this in prayer and personalize it. You could say, Lord, you said that I'm blessed. Lord, if I don't step in with wicked people, that I don't sit in that place, Lord, where so many people that miss you, the sinners and the ones that just miss you. And God, I've been like that. I've sinned and I've fallen short of the glory of God. And I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to sit there. I don't have to sit in that place of mocking. But Lord, you said that you delight in those who delight in your law, and that you call me to delight in your law. And God, I have to admit to you that sometimes the things in this world, they just seem so easy for me to go here and to make these decisions. They seem right. But God, your word says that if I just go in my own way, I'm going to go astray. So I want to learn what it means to delight in your law. So God, would you show me and would you help me by your Holy Spirit to savor your word and to love your word and to delight in your law. And Lord, help me to meditate on it, not just in the morning, or not just once a week, or when I go to church on Sunday, but Lord, help me to meditate on it day and night. And God, you said that you promised that I would be like a tree. And God, in that place planted in you, and that my roots, I want them to go deep, God. I want my roots to go down deep, and I want them to flow into the nourishment and the refreshing that is the river of God. And wherever the river of God is, there's life. And God, I am like that tree, and I recognize that the season I'm in right now, God, I'm like a tree, and I don't have any leaves on me because the fall has come, and it's barren, and it's winter, and it's dry. But oh God, as I have my roots deep in you, I know that the seasons are changing, and I know that the spring is coming, and I know, Lord God, that you're about to blossom something fresh in me, and I know, God, that I'm about to become fruitful like I've never been fruitful before, because I'm like a tree that is planted by the streams of living water. And God, your word is like water, your spirit is like water. And so I ask you, Holy Spirit, to refresh me, and ask your word to wash over me. And Lord, as you do that, let fruitfulness flow through me. And God, I'm like a tree, and so if you need to prune certain areas of me so that I could bear more fruit, would you prune me, God? And I sense what you're doing in this winter season, that there's things that I'm dying to, but God, I know ultimately that your heart for me is success and prosperity, that you want to prosper me, and I'm going to succeed in you. And so this is one of the ways that you can pray the scripture over yourself and personalize it. It's just an example of how you can do that. So I would encourage you to often get a portion of scripture or a verse and just make that a prayer. Mutter it, speak it, pray it. One of the verses we taught all of our kids when they couldn't even talk. All they could say is mom, dad, and Barney, and Clifford the big red dog. That's all they could say at one point. And then we said, here's one thing we want you to say as well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We taught them that right away. And my kids would just walk around. And then I'd say, dad, can we do this? Can we do that? No, we can't do that. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Dad, can we go to McDonald's? Not now. But dad, you said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And they would remind me of the word of God, but it was in their mind and it was in their heart and it was in their soul and it was on their tongues and it was on their lips, and they begin to utter and mutter and speak. And guess what happened? We ended up going to McDonald's because I'm a dad and I cave because they're right. You can't argue with God's word. And so when you meditate, even practically, and I encourage you maybe to get a pen if you're in your Bible and to write in the margins, or if you're digital, to highlight or to make sure you underline or have a program on your iPad, that you're able to, when you're reading scripture, maybe you're reading a large portion of scripture and something jumps out at you and you say, oh, that's good. I'm going to come back to that later. Underline it, write it down. Maybe that's a portion that God would call you to meditate on. It's endless. It is absolutely endless, the things that God has for us. We approach scripture like a treasure hunter. There's so much treasure. There's so much in there. Friends, I hope that I'm making you hungry for the word of God. That's my assignment today, is to stir hunger in you and stir hunger in all of us to say, God, I don't want just more information. I want transformation. I want to experience you. I want to know all the things you have for me. So you can circle words, you can write notes, you can write out questions. I got a question about this. You can ask God those questions and wait for him to show you and to show you other scriptures and to take time. You can pray the scripture out loud, like I said. And here's what I want us to do just to conclude this morning. This is one of my favorite portions of scripture personally to meditate on. And it's from Isaiah 55. And so we've just got one little portion there. I want us just to take a moment this morning, and I want to invite you to meditate, to say it out loud, to pray it out loud. You might just whisper it under your breath. Begin to pray this scripture over yourself. Isaiah 55. Come all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Let's just take a moment. This is God's invitation to his people to say, you can just come to me. I've paid the price for you. I've made salvation and knowing me free. And I invite you to come and to be nourished. So let's just take a few moments, and then we're going to pray one more prayer together before we conclude. So let's just take about 2 to 3 minutes. And I'm just going to invite you with this scripture on the screen. If you're making notes, you can write out a portion of the scripture. You can jot down what God is saying to you. But we're going to practice scripture meditation just for a few moments before we conclude. Let's do that together. Seconds to finish your thought. I would just invite you now to pray these two scriptures with me, Isaiah 55 and Psalm 63. Let me pray them, and let's pray them together. Lord, you said that I should come. So God, today we come to you. We are thirsty for you. Lord, you said that we can come to the waters. Lord, we recognize the refreshing that you offer us, the water of your word and the water of your spirit. Lord, let it wash over us today. Let it cleanse us and purify us. God, we admit we have no money. Lord, we come wretched and blind and naked and poor. But Lord, you invite us to come to you. You invite us to come and to eat, to be satisfied. So Lord, we eat upon your word today. We ask that your word today would nourish us and strengthen us, and help us and sustain us and change us and transform us. Lord, we are invited by you. You said, Lord, to come and buy wine and milk. And Lord, wine, what a beautiful picture that is, Lord, a picture of your first miracle and how you, Lord, added wine to that wedding. You turned water to wine. You took nothing and you made it into something. And Lord, like my life, let my life be a vessel that would be poured into by you. And Lord, as you pour in, Lord, that it would be transformed. You'd make new wine in me, Lord, that wine would be the wine of joy and celebration. And God, that you would show and reveal your glory in me like you did on that first miracle. And Lord, milk, that you would help me to grow and strengthen me, God, and give me calcium spiritually to strengthen my bones and nourishment. But God, I don't want to just stay on the milk. I want to grow to meet, and I want to feast on your word. But help me, Lord, today where I am. And thank you for the nourishment, Lord, that like a mother, that you hold me close and you nourish me and you help me. So we thank you for that, Lord, today. God, we thank you that it's free because you've sent Jesus, that you provided freely, that we can know you. We can come directly to the Father through Jesus Christ. And Lord, it is not our own efforts or not our own payment. We can't pay you any amount of money or earn any amount of favor with you. We already have favor because you've chosen us and predestined us and called us to be sons and daughters. We thank you for that. Psalm 63, Lord, I will be so fully satisfied. And I thank you, Lord, for the richness of food in your word. God, help me to sing and, Lord, to proclaim on my lips, and let my mouth be one that proclaims and, Lord, ingests your word. Let my lips ingest your word. Let my lips speak your word. Let my life obey your word. Let everything I do, God, just praise you and give you thanks. And Lord, even on my bed, I remember you. And at night, God, I pray you would overshadow me and that you would work in me. And even as I sleep, I invite your presence into my life and into my room and into my heart. And I pray that you would do the heavy lifting, Lord, where I can't lift things. I give them to you and I rest and I sleep and I rest in you tonight because I know that you are working on my behalf, that you go before me, that you are behind me, that Lord, you are underneath me, that you are around me, that you are above me. And Lord, I thank you that you are working and working all things together for good, that I can't control those things. So on my bed, I remember it's you. It is not me. And I think of you through the watches of the night. So as I dream, give me Holy Spirit revelation. Give me dreams. Show me, Lord, what you desire and help me to obey you in every area of my life. And so, Father, for First Assembly today, for each one of us, God, we pray and we meditate on your word. We pray your word. We speak your word. We think about your word. We digest your word. We ingest your word. Lord, we speak your word verbally. We speak your word to one another. We allow your word to transform us and change us. We thank you, God, that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Lord, I pray that you would divide and that you would show and that you would organize and sort out what needs to happen in our lives and in our church. Thank you, God, for your word today. Help us to be those like Joshua, Lord, who meditate on your word day and night and be careful to do everything in it. Lord, that you would bring great prosperity and success, Lord, in our lives personally and as a church in the season ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite you to worship.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. We pray that you have received truth and have been encouraged. For more information about First Assembly, how to get connected, and to listen to our latest worship albums, please visit our website at www.fa.church.